Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, that is right, folks. We have to keep it mellow here on Thursday nights because blood will be boiling before too long. I'm trying to tell you, when you hear how bad things are with our national debt, our special guest tonight, Dr. David Walalu, is back with us. We missed him last Thursday, but he's with us again tonight, and we are talking national debt. You know, to me, I just look at this as a regular guy out there just trying to make a living and support his family. You know, they have to budget. They have to live within their means. I'll put myself in that category. We have to say no sometimes to things that we may want but can't have right now. But the federal government doesn't do that. It just keeps spending and spending and spending and spending and putting us in a really bad position, a position of weakness. Usually when you are out of control in your finances, you're out of control everywhere else. And folks, our country's finances are out of control. But tonight, again, I want to welcome Dr. David Walalu. How are you tonight, sir?
Good, sir. How are you? Nice to be back here.
Yeah. We had a few interesting shows. I'm trying to tell you, we had one show where I was speaking with a liberal who was kind of endorsing a Black Lives Matter movement, and we had callers from Atlanta and callers from here in Texas and a caller from California. It was kind of interesting getting the dialogue going, but you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to talk about things. So it was good. It was good to have a few of those. But now we're with you. Every time you're on, the numbers spike. So I have no complaints.
Well, I'm glad I bring something to the table. So
absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Well, what's on your mind? I know you wanted to talk about national debt. Tell me what's on your mind here.
Well, the national debt is an issue that you don't hear much about. All you hear about is that, yeah, we borrow too much money, and that's about it, or the government spends too much money. But we'll never break it down for an average citizen to understand what are we talking about, because we use this terminology that is high level, well-educated per se, but not everybody can understand this term. So when you start talking about the national debt, you need first to define it. What are we talking about? So the term national debt itself refers to the direct liabilities of the United States government. And what does it mean? So for an average citizen who needs to understand this basic definition, for him or her to grasp the severity of what are we doing with this borrowing. So without getting into details as far as what the public debts, what are the components of the public debts, basically the securities, bonds and bills and notes and so forth, the key component for listeners to understand is that we are borrowing so much money. Let me give you a simple example here. Here is what's going on. For every dollar we borrow from China, we are basically borrowing only 47 cents. The rest goes into interest. And they are, for the United States government budget, most of the money, if not all the money, is spent on four categories. One of them is Social Security. The other one is Medicare. The third one is the interest on a national debt, that the interest we have to pay on the debt, okay? And the fourth one is defense spending. So when you look at our national debt, it has grown significantly. And I did some research, and the basic what I found was astounding. And here's an example for you. In 2005, We used to have about $9 trillion in our deficit, in our debt, okay? Which translates basically to a $78,000 debt per taxpayers, which means each one of us will owe about $78,000. That was in 2005. Fast forward 10 years ago, a decade later, in 2015, we're about $18,205,000,000, which average about $154,000 debt per taxpayers. The spending is astronomical. The debt is astronomical. But you find yourself asking the question, why? Why our debt is so high? It's because, as you stated earlier, we're spending more than we are bringing in. In other words, we put everything on plastic. It's because we can't see the cash, we use the plastic, and that amounts to the debt. Do you realize that just for the credit card itself, the interest on credit card is about $2.7 to $3 trillion with nothing to back it up? And you know what happened in the during the Depression era? The Depression era happened because there was so much money circulating with nothing to back it up. When the market crashed, it was nothing there. Everybody lost the values of whatever. Your money became worthless. And this is just the credit card we're talking. We're not talking student loans. Okay? We're not talking car loans. We're not talking mortgage loans. We're living beyond our means. You have one car, you want two. You have two, you want four. You live in a 2,000 square foot house, you want a 6,000 square foot house. Now you move to a 6,000 square foot house, you want a 10,000 square foot house. People are citizens. Our countrymen are living beyond their means because we want to keep up with the Joneses. And that just feeds into the spending that we don't have the means to finance that kind of life. That's part of our problem. So,
well, let me ask you this. All the revenue that we generate as taxpayers, I don't know how much that is per year. How short are we from meeting our balanced budget? If, for example, we have 100% expense and we have an income percentage of 50%, are we borrowing 50%? Are we borrowing, you know, the difference to pay the full 100%? Do you know what that ratio is of what we're actually contributing versus what we're borrowing?
No, I do not. I do not know the exact numbers, but I do know we're borrowing more than 50% because we have to make up. We have to make up that difference. We have to make up that difference somehow. It's because the shortfalls within the budget, it has to do with certain social programs that the government is funding that they shouldn't. Government shouldn't be funding certain programs just because the government doesn't mean it's going to go out of its way by borrowing money so we can finance and support whatever programs. The programs that's not working, you need to get rid of. Because we are not going to become a France or a social country here. That we have to, I mean, I have family living in France. I travel to France once in a while. And I see how their social programs are run by the government. You're looking at, for example, education. You don't have to pay for a grad level. And that's why the education level, it's not the way, the same level as we have here in the U.S. The thinking is, hey, the government is paying for it. Why should I study hard? I'm not paying anything. And we can't have this kind of thinking in this country. It's because our system, it's for competitiveness. It's for creativity. So if you keep handing things to people, what incentive do they have to work hard?
Well, but now you're going to start upsetting people when you talk like that, because
what?
You're going to start upsetting liberals who say, well, hold on a second. These people need these benefits. You know, all these benefits that you're talking about cutting, you know, that these unions don't want those things cut.
Yeah.
And,
well, if I,
you know,
yeah.
you get accused of pushing grandma over a cliff.
Well, not necessarily that, because if I am upsetting those people, it's because they don't want to hear the truth. And this is part of our problem in this country. We sugarcoat everything. Oh, because I don't want to upset this particular category or segment of society. But reality dictates otherwise. The reality of where we are, the debt we have accumulated, it's beyond belief. Somehow we have to pay it somehow. I mean, it's almost we're going to bankrupt the country. And I am not suggesting, under no circumstances, am I suggesting that we get rid of everything. What about that veteran who went to war in Iraq or Afghanistan and ended up having his legs amputated? Aren't we supposed to help that guy? Yes, of course I will. I will be happy to take for the government to take part of my earnings and assist somebody like that. But I have a problem with somebody who's sitting watching TV all day with a bag of chips by his side when he or she is capable of working, but because there is a check coming from the government, that person saying to him or herself, why bother? Why do I need to work? When there is a check coming, I'm expecting a check from the government. Now, for them, for something like that, the government has to step in and cut off that kind of funding. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, but they have to change their policies, and they have to change employees. You know, there's corruption, and that's the whole key here, is that the only reason healthy, able-bodied people are getting at such approvals at such rates where they qualify for the Social Security benefits of 723 to I've seen people earning $2,900 a month in Social Security income from multiple children and things like that. And there's never, I mean, those people for the rest of their lives and all of their children will be on the same hustle. It's just a nonstop depletion of our revenue.
I mean, exactly. If you're going to allow some stuff like this, then obviously you're going to have to drain the resources to support that kind of program. And to me, that's not America. That's not the U.S. We don't stand for stuff like that. We don't, the thinking of just handing things out, it shouldn't exist. And again, I am not suggesting that we shouldn't help, but there is a limit. It's because you're going to create that mindset, that mentality of complacency, that mentality of just sit back, I'm going to provide the check for you at the end, because that's the role of the government. Well, that's not supposed to be. And because how the government is going to fund that? It's going to end up having to borrow money. And this is exactly what's happening for us with China. I mean, do you realize that China, a couple of years ago, just purchased two banks in New York? Then they start to invest in real estate. And you know one thing I've learned in my academic journey so far? For a country, if you want to take over another country, just control their finances. That's all you need to do. Control the finances of that particular country and you take over, step by step. And this is exactly what's going on between us and China. That's why we are borrowing so much money, and China are willing to give us money.
How does China have so much money?
It's because manipulate the currency. There are certain mechanisms by which China is able to sort of not play fair. I mean, look, for example, what happened, what was it, just like literally seven months ago, the meeting that took place in Beijing when China and some other 57 founding members of countries that joined with China. They provided what's called the Infrastructure Investment Bank, the China-led Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. China by itself provided $100 billion, okay? The purpose of that or just to push, because if they can bypass the usage of the U.S. dollar for global oil trade, for example, then they can control the market. Because most of these transactions will not be done in the U.S. dollars, but rather it will be done in the Chinese currency, the yuan. And that's what's going to increase their value. And Beijing, the investments for that, given it's between 25 to 30% of its total votes, which means dictating what's going to be the policy is. I mean, I was even surprised to find out that even Australia agreed to join their new bank. That shocked me. Why? Because they're realizing that the U.S. cannot sustain its financial mess, if I may use the term, we're in. We are in a financial mess because there is no more responsibility as far as, hey, we can borrow money just because we have the ability to borrow doesn't mean we have to. We got to live within our means. We got to spend according to what we have.
Well, how do you create a message? How do you create a message that sells and get someone elected on the platform of cutting benefits and reducing our expenses? Like, you know, I've always said we should implement random drug testing for people who are receiving benefits. People think I'm out of control for thinking that, but, you know.
No, you're not. When you have a person driving a Cadillac and using food stamps, there is something wrong with this picture. When you got a person standing in line at HEB or supermarket or whatever with an iPhone 6 on food stamps, there is something wrong with this picture.
Yeah. There's definitely a sense of entitlement. And I go back to the corruption because somehow they get approved. Somehow someone is pushing their paperwork through.
Obviously. And so you're going to have to hold policymakers accountable.
Yeah.
You're going to have to hold them accountable. Well, as far as the entitlement, and I know it is a big deal in Congress because I just read yesterday something about the Speaker of the House expecting some fight with the White House regarding this issue of entitlement. I understand that that is a sensitive issue. And I am for support of entitlement to a degree because here is why. The individuals, the senior citizens who paid into the system, they deserve to have their pension. They deserve to have whatever they put into the system. But so for someone who did not, why should we take money away from somebody who put in money into the system for the last 30 or 35 or 40 or 45 years and give it to somebody who didn't? That's not right. That is not right. And if we are to be about, well, I can upset the base or I can upset this segment of society or this group, whatever, then that's the wrong approach. That is the wrong approach. Basically, we just put in a Band-Aid on the issue. We're not fixing the problem. So we are not going to move forward if we're going to keep that kind of thinking, that kind of mindset. That's not what America is all about. America is about creativity. We're going to have to
you know what it proves to me and how more people are on welfare during Obama's term? It seems like more people have just given up. I run across people who, they're just down and out. They're giving up, and they're going to accept the rest of their life living with family and making $722 a month.
Yeah, that's not right. That's not right thinking. And for those who think that just because the government providing checks, whatever it's going to be forever, it's just not right. As I explained to my students, for example, now they start to ask questions about these debts. You know, I'm even surprised. My students, some of them are only 20, 21, whatever. You will think they are not at that age yet. And yet, I get these kind of questions. They're like, Dr. O, are we going to still be borrowing from China? And I said, unfortunately, yes. And here is the bigger issue that I see with all this, is that you guys, your children will have to deal with this down the road. It's because I can't fathom that somebody's working 45, 50 hours a week. Then the federal government will come and take part of his or her taxes, which is we all need to put in some. But when you take that, part of that hard-earned dollars and spend it on some programs for to support some entity that they're not willing to work, then there is something wrong with this picture. America was never about laziness, complacency, just spending spree. It's about fiscal responsibility. Until policymakers understand that they have to make the tough choices. If I am to lose vote, lose the elections, but I stand on my principles, then be it. Because this is what we have become. I only have to say what it will sound good to people. I only have to say what makes them like me. You don't hear politicians anymore saying what's right. You like me or not like me, this is what's good for the country. Because we vote for politicians to represent the country, to move the country forward. So, and if we are not having an honest conversation like we do now on your show here, we're not going to move forward. We're not. We're going to be just spinning. That's all it is. And that issue, Duke, is a serious issue. It's a serious problem. It threatens the entire structure of the American system. And we can't just pretend it doesn't exist. There will be some tough choices policymakers will have to make. And if people don't like it, that's too bad. Because the greater good precedes self-interest.
So you're saying we're going to have to rip the band-aids off and endure the pain. We're going to have some pain. How painful do you think it's going to be? How long a period before we can pull out?
Well, if I have to guess, you're looking at the next 15 years. That's my guess. You know, I wish I can say the next 5 years, but I don't think so. You're looking at least in the next 15 years. And we're going to have to tighten the belt on spending. I'm sure you recall the whole housing, the recession we went through with the housing market. People are borrowing money, purchasing a $600,000, $700,000 homes when they make $45,000 a year. Something is wrong with that. And we shouldn't even be allowing this kind of credit to be just given to whoever. We can't do that. But this welfare issue of people just, if you are capable of working, then you work. You're not going to be dependent on government to hand you. And again, I'm not suggesting we do not help our fellow citizens. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But we got to be pragmatic and realistic about how far we're going to help. Isn't that saying, feed me one day or teach me how to fish, I will eat for life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same concept. If I am to be handing you a check this month and next month and the following month, then you're going to be getting used to it. If I give you a check this month and next month I say, this is your last check, by the way, you need to move on and get a job and participate and be a productive citizen. And this is all we can do. Then you'll find out people's going to have to get up and get a job and move on with the system. Otherwise, we're just kicking the can down the road for the next generation. We'll have to deal with this debt because it's something we can't just get rid of. Because you have to educate the population. You got to live within your mean. I make, $100 a day. Do I need to spend $150 a day? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you create that mindset, dude, of the government just giving welfare to people, then it would be, again, as I said earlier, it would be no incentive for people to be creative. if a woman was going to be like a former Soviet Union, you know, a doctor with somebody who's whatever doesn't even want to work, or they are the same, because the system doesn't differentiate between who works hard and wants to move up the ladder of the social ladder and one who wants to sit in front of TV all day.
Mm-hmm. And it is now socially acceptable to be on welfare. I know people who are proud of it and almost brag about it.
Well, see, Duke, if I were in charge, I would cut off that kind of stuff. That kind of thinking has to end, and this kind of programs have to end. Now, whether you like me or not, that's beside the point. And if I lose the office, the election, next elections, be it. But I'll stand on principle, because that's not America. That's not what the United States stands for. I mean, the rest of the world looking at us now. I mean, I wrote an article last week. I don't know if you had a chance to see it or not. You know where we rank in the world now? Number 11. I mean, how pathetic that is for a country like ours to be ranked 11th. Why?
It's definitely a lack of effort. But hey,
yeah.
we've only got a few minutes left here in this program. I did have one question I wanted to ask you, since you are a Middle East expert.
Certainly.
Why these Syrian refugees? Why are they not just going to neighboring Muslim countries? Why do they insist on going to non-Muslim countries?
Which is a good question, and I've been thinking about that myself. And the only thing I could come up with is maybe because these countries are the ones supporting ISIS. Maybe we need to have it as a topic for discussion. There's a lot of stuff Americans need to understand.
Well, I think that would be a great topic for next week. Everyone is freaked out right now about what to do with these refugees. I know me personally, I say no. That's my gut instinct, no. But, you know, until we know who's who. I mean, that just makes sense. I don't know if that's a hateful position or not, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah. I wrote an article about it coming up on Sunday, I believe, about this topic. You might want to read it. And, yes, I'll be happy to we can address this one next week or following week. Whatever.
All right. Well, I'll give you the last word. Our show is coming to an end.
Well, it's just all I can say is, you know, while we're mortgaging our future to China, at the same time, China has been doing its own strategy ranging from the theft of intellectual property to carrying cyber attacks to manipulating the currency and so forth, which means to me it's a wake-up call for our policymakers to make the right decision to get us out of debt, because we can't be borrowing money forever.
So I think if I could wrap it up, the key here is stop spending money that we don't have. And it's time to tell people things that they may not want to hear, and be willing to risk everything to make this happen, even if it means not being reelected.
That is correct. Until we have that kind of thinking and this kind of policy makers, then we'll move our country forward.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and informing us on these issues. It's always a pleasure to have you on. My name is Duke Machado, and you can follow me on Facebook at The Duke Machado Show and on Twitter at Duke Machado 1. We're out of here.